All right, this is Pure Decking Show number 523 for Thursday, June the 8th, 1949. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the fact that I'm actually in utter shock over the fact that I need one of those little USB to PS2 adapters, and I can't find any of them in my piles of computer parts. And all I can think is I must have found the last of them and thought, I'm never going to need these, and threw them away. And now I desperately need one. But tonight we have a madman. What's up, madman?
Well, slightly annoyed at tech support, but takes them like 3 seconds to do it. Seems to take them 2 days to undo. But to counteract any unhappiness on the show today, I have a butter pecan ice cream cone that makes everything better.
I bet that would go great with my bourbon barrel ale. I'm going to have to get some of those. That sounds awesome. And we have an RU. What's up, RU?
I want to live in madman world where all it takes is a ice cream cone to make my day better.
You know, I had a guy at work today say that he was frazzled out. He had no thoughts in his head. He was just here to listen. Like, God, I actually said on the call, God, that's got to be a great state of mind. How do you get in that state of mind? I could use that. So. Then somebody else gave him shit, and the call deteriorated from there. But, anyways, I have repaired the file server. So, you know, hopefully it won't take me 3 attempts to post the show like it did last week. Yeah, I get a couple of messages on Reddit, Psychros being the first one, saying, hey, something's wrong with the show. You've accidentally posted the last week's show twice in a row. I'm like, well, you know, last week's show was so good. But I thought I had it fixed, and for some reason, when I renamed the file, I guess it didn't complete the operation, because instead of renaming the recording, it simply made an empty file with the new name, which was actually, you know, the PureDacking underscore 5022.mp3, or 0522.mp3, and I had uploaded that, not realizing it was an empty file. So, that was strike two, and then I finally got the right thing uploaded, so did not strike out, but came close. So, my bad. Having a single point of failure like that file server makes me wonder if it might not be a bad idea to build a second one and spread things out a little bit. Anyways. So, I don't know. Before we get going, you guys have anything?
No, I took the last three days to myself, so I didn't really do much. We have news and stuff. Hence no stories from me this week, I don't think.
Fair enough.
I spent the last 2 days waiting to get access back. Seems if I didn't log into some of the tools I need to do my job, they just said, even though my job title hadn't changed, you must not need those tools, and they remove your access.
Oh, hell, I know that feeling. I've got them. This is the second time they've removed access to me to something that I have been logging into and using. It's like, if you don't log into this system in the next 20 days, you're going to lose your access. Okay, cool, I'll go log into it. Then I log into it to use it the next day and the day after that. And then the next week I get an email. Okay, we've disabled your account for inactivity. I was using that. I had logged into it multiple times. Well, our logs don't reflect that. Your logs are wrong because here's a report I pulled out of that system yesterday. It's like, all right, well, you'll have to submit a new request for access again. It's like, you've removed my access by mistake. Can't you just re-enable it? It's like, nope. It's got to go through the full approval process again. I know that feeling.
Although, now that I'm no longer working in the other facility, I do randomly want to drive by there and see if my badge still opens.
Good money, it does.
Depends on how often they audit that system. If anything, you ought to go out there like after a month and try to get in. Amusingly enough, they finally disabled my access to some of the server facilities. This is mid last year, and I was going to take some people out there and show them, and I couldn't get in the door. And they said, "Yeah, we see where they removed your access about 3 weeks ago." I'm like, "Okay, cool, never mind." And I turn around to the people I was going to show the data center to. I'm like, okay, well, they've cleared out my access, so we're not going to get to see the data center today. And they're like, aren't you going to call somebody and get that fixed? I'm like, nope. It's like, what do you mean no? It's like, I was one of like four people who had access to that data center and could assist in the event of an emergency. That was a roundabout way of saying that I don't have to make the midnight run to the data center to fix a server that's crashed.
Uh-huh, because it's not your problem now.
Officially, not my problem. I literally cannot get in the door. So,
Your boss had to have authorized this removal. You're not necessary.
No, she didn't know either. Description. She didn't know either. And I thought it was hilarious. So I just left. I'm just leaving it. I'm not making an issue of it. I am not getting it fixed. If I get a phone call in the middle of the night saying, we need you to go out to the data center, nobody else can, you know, we can't get a hold of anybody else, and something's down, it's like, sorry, you guys pulled my access. And then I'll listen to them scramble. It's like, well, we can get your access back. Pfft, no, you can't. I turned in that card. I can't get back in. So.
Like, you can get my access back? Sure. It's not going to be tonight.
It's like, nope, you all made that official.
I'll have to send me new credentials and everything.
You made it very clear. I do not have access to that system anymore. Fair enough. That got filed under not my problem when I found that out. Well, we're going to have to tell your boss you're not being a team player. Yeah, she knows. So.
You're going to have to look up your definition of team. When it comes to my job, I'm great at doing it. Somebody else's that I suck at. You just told me this is somebody else's job.
Anyways, let's get into this first one here. This is one I thought would be worth talking about because this has some interesting connotations. It's from TechSpot. Enigma Software Group, and admittedly I had to look up who they were, has won a crucial case in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, allowing it to proceed with its lawsuit against Malwarebytes for flagging its anti-spam software or anti-spyware software as a, quote, potentially unwanted program, unquote. The lawsuit alleges that Malwarebytes has engaged in anti-competitive conduct under the Lanham Act and tortious interference with Enigma's business. Now, Enigma does make anti-spyware program, but I tried to load their webpage the other day, and it was when I first saw this article, and it didn't even load. I had to go on Wikipedia and see that, okay, yeah, they made that, and it was questionable because some people thought that it was coming with ads and stuff in it. So the 2-1 split verdict from the Ninth Circuit came after Enigma appealed a 2017 California District Court ruling that held that cybersecurity firms can classify any software as harmful, even if they are from their competitors. However, the ruling was reversed by the Ninth Circuit in 2019, raising many questions about how this could affect anti-malware programs from correctly labeling harmful software masquerading as security apps. While the Supreme Court did not take up the case following an appeal for Malwarebytes, the California District Court once again dismissed Enigma's complaint in 2021, even after being told by the Ninth Circuit to reconsider the lawsuit. However, after another appeal from Enigma, the Ninth Circuit reviewed the revived the case last week and has now ruled that the company can proceed with its lawsuit. The ruling has been lambasted by some legal experts who believe it could hamper cybersecurity service providers from doing their job effectively. Talking to the Register, Eric Goldman, professor at Santa Clara University School of the Law, complained that the Ninth Circuit's decisions was erroneous as it failed to differentiate between facts and opinions properly. According to him, in deciding in favor of Enigma, the Ninth Circuit failed to comprehend how cybersecurity industry operates and how security companies use terms like malicious and threat. He also felt that thanks to the judgment, there will now be more disputes over such classifications in the future, making the job of cybersecurity companies tougher than ever before. Goldman argued that the Ninth Circuit decision would mean anti-malware software vendors now simply minimize their financial and legal risks by leaving out supposed anti-threat programs from their list of suspected apps, even if they display dangerous behavior, which could pose a major threat to consumers. Some smaller players could also exit the industry altogether, which would further hurt consumers by reducing competition. Goldman was also critical of the Supreme Court for denying Malwarebytes' appeal and called out Justice Clarence Thomas in particular for writing what he called a gratuitous error-ridden statement about Section 230 that spurred many regulators to pursue their censorship agendas. Malwarebytes has yet to comment on the decision, but Enigma is celebrating the verdict as expected. In a decision released following the ruling, the company said Malwarebytes has disparaged Enigma's products for commercial advantage by making misleading statements of fact. Trying to wrap them in a First Amendment flag does not make them any less offensive or less actionable. So, to clarify what's just happened here, at some point, Malwarebytes flagged this Enigma anti-spyware tool as potentially unwanted software and would remove it from systems. So, Enigma has sued Malwarebytes for classifying their software as potentially unwanted. And
I mean, it's libelous.
Right, and gone back and forth to the point that now it's allowed. So what's to stop anyone who puts out some, you know, adware seemingly, possibly tied to a legitimate business bullshit from just suing malware companies for saying that it's potentially unwanted software? You know, I mean, this goes back to the whole, you know, Internet Explorer toolbar bullshit, where everything you installed would try to add something to Internet Explorer back in the day, to the point where there was that famous screenshot that always goes around where the entire screen is covered in Internet Explorer toolbars and you don't have any room to actually use the damn program because everything and its brother puts bullshit in there. And if you can't say, oh, Bonsai Buddies, potentially unwanted, do you want me to clear it off for you, without the company that makes Bonsai Buddy threatening to sue your ass, I mean, I think this is a real problem. You're going to see lawfare.
It opens the door just enough to where you're going to get lawfare.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it, instead of just statutorily wrong, a question of fact to be decided by a jury.
Yep.
So you'd have to bring the software before a jury and state, these are the actions it's taking that makes it appear to be malicious. Like, it's doing all these same things that malware would do, which is going to be a problem because a lot of security software, I think, does some things malware does.
Try and find 12 people who can understand your explanation.
Oh, that'll be the other problem, right?
That is the problem with the courts now.
Well, I think the problem with courts right now is they're so expensive to take advantage of, that somebody who has a legitimate excuse, but, you know, a legitimate grievance, but it only involves a small amount of money, the courts, well, small to the courts anyways, you know, they're going to say, well, not enough money for us to care about, you're shit out of luck. And that's how you get people abusing the system, small-scale fraud and things like that, because there's no way to use the legal system to take advantage of, to stop them, to punish them for being bad actors. And so you know, you get bullshit like this, which, you know, most of this stuff's really going to be just frivolous lawsuits to try to keep people from flagging your stuff. But it's still so expensive to defend against. And, of course, once lawyers get involved, nothing is ever easy or cheap. So how many malware companies are just going to, you know, nope, that one's tied to a thing. They might sue us. Just don't. So
it's just going to restrict the number of people actually making anti-malware software. You won't get free software anymore unless a large corporation is actually deciding to be magnanimous, because they're the ones that can afford the law to defend themselves in court. It's not quite the court saying you can't defend yourself. It's just how many defendants are going to use the money. It's like, I can spend $10,000 on a lawyer to recoup this $8,000 thing, or I can just ignore it. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is not good. Now, that said, you know, at the same time, you know, if you do run a legitimate piece of software and a software malware company screws up and flags your software as malicious when it's not, I'm not against you having some kind of recourse against them, but this gets weird.
Does it go into the full opinion? Because depending on how narrowly they tailored the opinion, it might not be an industry-wide precedent.
I read the whole article.
It could just apply to this one. Okay, so the article doesn't go into the opinion.
Yeah, I read the whole thing to you. Unfortunately, I do not know on this, because like you said, the Supreme Court decided not to take it up, and they're just letting the lawsuit move forward. Now, that said, they're letting the lawsuit move forward, so it's possible that in the course of the lawsuit, they say this is without merit, and it still comes out that, okay, it's not worth bringing lawsuits against malware companies because, well, saying software is unwanted is more of a statement of opinion than fact, right? You're allowed to have an opinion. You know,
you're not.
Well, yeah. Like, you know, I was just disparaging Bonsai Buddy a minute ago, but I can't think of anybody who actually wanted that thing on their machine back in the day. I know a lot of people who complained that it showed up when they installed Kazaa or something else, but I don't know of anybody who actually, you know,
gorilla?
Wanted it. Huh?
Was that the purple gorilla?
Yeah, that was the purple gorilla.
I knew that name from somewhere.
I mean, did anybody know anybody who actually wanted that thing on their computer?
No.
And yet, how many times did you hear from friends and family that stupid little monkey showed up on my desktop? I don't know how to get rid of it.
Trying to get rid of it's the hardest part.
So, Malwarebytes was actually one of the nice tools back in the early days for clearing that kind of crap off of machines. So, at least back when I was doing that kind of cleanup full time, you literally spend days. It's all, you know, it's, can you format the machine? No. Fine. Okay, well, we'll be running scans and cleanup for the next 8 hours, and there's no guarantee that you got everything off the machine.
Yeah, right.
But,
like, Malwarebytes is good, but nothing's perfect.
No, you usually end up running what you run. McAfee Stinger, Malwarebytes, Super Anti-Spyware was one. Fuck, I don't remember all the different tools
we used to run. Yeah, I remember. I can see the symbols in my head. I can't fucking remember the names of them.
I had a system down where I would actually boot up. I had rigged up a version, I think it was Hiren's Boot CD, but it might have been a different one, where it would boot up a Windows PE environment off a flash drive. That way I could run the scanning tools from that on the mounted disk without having to worry about them running in the background, because, you know, live OS. That helped a lot. But it was still slow as Christmas, because it had to, you know, scan the entire hard disk, and this was all spinning Rust, so.
Yep.
But, anyways, anybody have any thoughts on this, or?
I'm done.
All right.
Let's move on.
Moving on to this next one. There are articles about this all over the place, but I figured I'd, you know, talk from the post actually made by the guy. We talked last week about Reddit and Apollo, the third-party apps. The guy who runs Apollo is officially giving up.
Yep.
Says it's been an amazing run, thanks to all of you. 8 years ago, published in the Apple subreddit, the app he was working on. June 30th will be Apollo's last day. He's got he apparently recorded every phone call he had with the Reddit execs because he lives in Canada. Canada's one-party consent. He decided that was probably a good thing to do. And
cover his bases.
Well, he kind of had to because apparently several of Reddit's leadership said he threatened them on the phone call and was saying all kinds of nasty stuff to them and just being mean and demanding a payment so that he wouldn't post things about him and stuff like that, which none of that is true because he's actually got the recordings. He's offered them on the link here. I mean, this whole thing's just, you know, wall of text, but he said he's got the recordings. He's happy to share them with people who need them. He's also posted a segment of them for the specific part that they said was a threat and where he explained it on the call and they accepted the explanation that, oh, you know, we've just misunderstood each other. Because what he was actually asking for was, well, just buy my app out then if you're going to charge this much and you don't, you know, just buy it out for half of that and we'll call it done. And, he goes in and explains the math again. You know, just how even though Reddit was trying to argue, oh, well, you won't start seeing API bills till August. And his argument was, but it doesn't matter when I start getting them. They're untenable. I can't afford them. The business model for the subscriptions he's got won't work. He's also saying that he won't. He said part of the reason he's decided to shut down is because they accused him of threatening them and all this other stuff that, you know, and he knows that's not what went down on the calls and he's got the recordings to prove it. And he's like, okay, well, these people are not going to be trustworthy. There's no point in continuing. I'm just going to shut down. So he's going to offer probated rebate or refunds for people who were subscribed for Apollo for the pro. And, June 30th will be it. He's going to shut it down. He said they didn't. Apparently, Reddit told them that there were changes coming for the past several months, but they didn't actually communicate what the price model would be until like 30 days out. So, you know, they just didn't give him enough time to change his business model to adapt. This also raises the question of what's going to happen with the other third-party apps, because Apollo's not the only one that's out there. There's several other Reddit clients. So, also raises the question of, you know, with one of the biggest third-party apps shutting down, is Reddit going to back off? It doesn't look like it from this point, but it's getting a lot of media attention, so we'll see.
Once a company kind of shows that you can't trust their word, it's really hard to do business with them.
Yeah, so I mean,
yeah, I could see the guy just, even if the Reddit dropped their prices tomorrow, I could still see him not getting back into this.
Well, why would you want to if they're literally making shit up about you on Twitter and saying you're threatening them and all this other stuff? And he's like, I never said that. Here's the recording to prove it. I mean, you know, if they're literally willing to go online and make shit up to try to make you look bad, slander you, yeah, I mean, what's the point in trying to work with them?
And this could hurt Twitter even,
Reddit.
Not just with this, but I'm sorry, Reddit. Sorry, Elon, don't sue me. This could hurt Reddit just with other vendors that they're going to need to do business with.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, no argument there because, again, you think about it, it's, yeah, I mean, if they're willing to go online and do that kind of stuff, I mean, it just means you know you can't trust that leadership, like, at all. So, I mean, at this point, it's kind of like, well, why bother, you know? I mean, I see Reddit running off a good chunk of their core user base with this kind of bullshit, and
nothing of value is lost.
Well, probably.
Fucking Reddit, dude.
It has.
No, I see a lot of reposts from Reddit.
I we'll see something else come up and take its place. That's actually when we get to Dojo, a list of how to set up your own forum. So, I think I'm kind of hoping we'll start seeing. I mean, that's what should happen, right? Is it's like, okay, these big centralized services, they get too big for their britches, the MBAs get in, and they fuck it up. You know, whenever you have enough central mass...
Is it worth setting up your own shit, though?
Say what?
Is it worth setting up your own forum, though?
If you're that interested in something and you want to moderate it. I mean, hell,
I suppose.
Reddit doesn't pay their moderators. They're all volunteers. I mean, if you're serious
stupid
about what you're
Jannies.
Doing... Huh?
Jenny's work for free. Clean up the shit, Jenny.
But I mean, if you're serious about it and you want to run an online community, yeah, go set up your own PHPBB. Pain in the ass for keeping up with the security and the patches and stuff, but there's a lot of them out there. So there's no reason you have to keep everything consolidated onto one website other than just that's what people are used to. I mean, back in the day, it wasn't anything weird to see all these different forums floating around out there. Usually finding all the ones that let you do the custom avatars and the add-ons and play D&D and shit like that. That was one of the draws of the things, is seeing what all people had plugged into them. So, I'd like to think we'd see a resurgence of old-school forums and blogs and stuff like that. We won't. We'll just see everybody move to some other... Actually, no. You'll see a
run fucking bullshit.
You'll see a segment of people move off to some other site, and then you'll see a lot of people stick with Reddit because it's what they know. It's the reason people are still on Facebook. It's the reason, hell, MySpace is still going at a greatly reduced size, but some people just aren't willing to change. I say that as I look at our IRC channel. So...
If it works, it works.
Right? But, yeah, it's going to be... That kerfuffle is going to continue. And, I mean, literally seeing one of the largest third-party apps shutting down over it might rustle some jimmies, I believe would be the phrase.
Could you? Hello, fellow kids.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing I don't look like Steve Buscemi, otherwise that would be really creepy.
Hey, if Steve Buscemi could make it looking like Steve Buscemi, you too could make it. Want to be Steve Buscemi?
All right. Next article.
Next article.
Next article is from The Guardian. Chinese Communist Party accessed Hong Kong protesters' TikTok data. Which just, if you're in Hong Kong and you're protesting China, why would you use TikTok? I mean, you're just...
Well, it just dispels the myth that all Asians are smart.
Hey,
I don't know.
I'm not going to be a bigot anymore.
I heard the intelligence was limited to math.
Well, all right, you got me there, madman.
Certainly not driving. Anyways, a former executive at TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, has alleged that the Chinese Communist Party's accessed user data from the social video app belonging to Hong Kong protesters and civil rights activists. Yintao Yu, former head of engineering at ByteDance's U.S. operation, claimed in legal filings that a committee of Communist Party members accessed TikTok data that included users' network information, SIM card identifications, and IP addresses in a bid to identify the individuals and their locations. The claims in a wrongful dismissal lawsuit brought by Yu in a California court and reported on by the Wall Street Journal also alleged that the party accessed TikTok users' communications, monitored Hong Kong users who uploaded protest-related content, and that Beijing-based ByteDance maintained a backdoor channel for the party to access U.S. user data. No shit. Yu alleges in the filing that members of a Communist Party committee inside ByteDance had access to a super user credential, which was also called a God credential, and allowed them to view all data collected by ByteDance. The filings add that when Yu was at ByteDance between August 2017 and November 2018, TikTok stored all users' direct messages, search histories, and content viewed by the users. ByteDance pulled the social video app from Hong Kong in 2020 amid concerns over national security law that gave China enhanced powers in the city. TikTok's chief executive, Xu Zichu, you know, I always wonder if these names are, you know, something wrong, we too low, Bang Ting Ao. I always wonder when I'm reading some of these Asian names, am I falling for... I mean,
well, that name you just read out there, I thought you were ordering some sort of weird bubble gum from Thailand.
I don't mean to make fun of the names, but I sometimes wonder if they're trolling us with some of them.
Some of them, I'm sure.
Appeared at a U.S. Congressional hearing in March and denied that Chinese Communist Party had access to U.S. user data. He said, "Let me state this unequivocally, ByteDance is not an agent of China or any other country," unquote. Yu's lawyer, Charles Jing, a partner at the law firm Nassari & Jung, told the Wall Street Journal that his client had come forward because he had concerns about Yu's testimony. ByteDance spokesperson said the company denied Yu's claims. Quote, "We plan to vigorously oppose what we believe to be our baseless claims and allegations in this complaint. Mr. Yu worked for ByteDance Inc. for less than a year, and his employment ended in July of 2018. During his brief time at the company, he worked on an app called Flipagram, which was discontinued years ago for business reasons," unquote, said the spokesperson. TikTok is under pressure from multiple governments over user data concerns. It has been banned on government-issued phones in the UK, US, and Canada. The Biden administration has also demanded the platform's Chinese owners sell TikTok or face a complete ban. The thing is, the guy in front of Congress saying ByteDance is not an agent of China or any other country doesn't mean that they didn't give CCP officials access to the data. It just means they don't believe they're an agent of the CCP. But they're incorporated in Beijing. Which means even if they don't... You know, they kind of have the same problem Kaspersky had in Russia. Even if they don't want to be...
They have to be partly owned.
Yeah, they don't have a choice in the matter because the government in there will show up with guns. So... I don't know what else to add to that other than Adoy. Of course they were doing this. And if you're protesting the Chinese Communist Party, why on God's green earth would you have TikTok on your phone? Everyone knows at this point. You have to know at this point. I mean, we've been talking about it for years that TikTok was collecting data and was being accessed by China.
And if you're incorporated in China, the Communist Party has to have people on your board. That's the problem Google was having breaking into China. We have to be your partner. We have to see all of your code.
They actually have... It's not that CCP has to be on your board. It's that CCP controls who will be on your board in China. It's the Chinese... You will have your own... arm in China, and we will tell you who's on the board on that. I mean, that actually happened to Arm, straight up. You know, they took the Chinese division of Arm, split it off, said this is ours now, and we own the IP. Fuck you. And I mean, they exist as two separate companies, but literally, the Chinese division of Arm just said, "Screw off, this is ours now." So, yeah, ByteDance trying to say we're not an agent of the Chinese government. Well, okay, sure, you don't probably have a contract with them, but you're incorporated in Beijing. So yeah, if you're doing anything where you think you might be possibly running afoul of the Chinese Communist Party, don't put TikTok on your phone.
Coordinate using a software that's going to be spied on by other countries, just not China. I mean, Russia and the U.S. don't care that you're fucking with them. Use our shit.
Yeah, I mean, organize it on Facebook or something. That way, the three-letter agencies, if they like what you're doing, might, you know, even, you know, give you a little bit of quiet support there. Play the game. If you know they're monitoring you, at least pick who you want to be monitored by so that you have a shot at getting some support rather than, I don't know, am I reading too much? Am I expecting too much out of this?
Yeah.
If you're going to, I would go with also remember to make your Facebook group private and don't label it, we're fucking with people in Taiwan. Or Hong
unless,
Kong.
Unless
whatever.
It's a porn site. In that case, you know, if it's, you know, just catering to a specific. I'm going to stop that joke right now. I've got nothing else on that one. I just. Wow. I mean, no shit, China. Of course, China has been monitoring TikTok. Of course, ByteDance gave them access. They had to. If they didn't, they would have been shot. In fact, you can you can search around and find plenty of examples of where the CCP just came in, swapped out the leadership of a company because they didn't like what that company was doing, and the old leadership just we don't know what happened to them. They're just gone. Been photoshopped out of pictures and everything. They're gone now. So I don't blame the leadership of ByteDance for giving China access, the CCP access, because if they didn't, they would have had their heads put on pikes. But we all need to acknowledge the reality of that and, like, I don't know, pick anything else to post stupid videos of you dancing to music to.
I don't understand it. I'm too old.
We'll have to make a music video explaining this to you.
Please don't, Madman. It was bad enough learning about twerking from you. I don't need to learn about anything else.
Well, the visual aids were a bit much.
They were a bit much.
Next article is from The Verge. Microsoft has no shame. Bing spit on my Chrome search with a fake AI answer. I tried this just a few minutes ago, and I was not getting the results they're getting in this article. But they have screenshots, and I wouldn't put this crap past Microsoft, especially with how they've been behaving lately. So here we go. It was time to download Google Chrome on a new Windows 11 computer. The author typed Chrome into the Microsoft Edge search bar and was greeted with a full-screen Microsoft Bing AI chatbot window, which promptly told the author it was searching for Bing features, not Chrome. So it literally swapped out the word Chrome for Bing features for news articles. He, you know, tried again and got the same result every time, and the exact same text, too. This is clearly not Microsoft's GPT-4-powered chatbot at work. It's a completely canned interaction. And he's got a screenshot here showing every time he searched for Chrome, it was just giving him the results of basically a Bing marketing slick of why you should be using Edge and Bing. It's like Bing is not just a search engine. It's a chatbot, a content creator, news aggregator, blah, 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 blah. Basically, oh, you're searching for our competitor. Fuck you. Here's our stuff. He got it to work on a different computer across the country. He got a colleague to get the exact same thing on his wife's gaming laptop. Across the ocean, another colleague pulls it up on his mobile phone. It's not universal, but it's absolutely not a tiny experiment in a single region. So in other words, he was able to reproduce it in a lot of places. Not everywhere, but a lot. Like, and like I said, I tried it just a few minutes ago, and it was not it wasn't doing it for me. I was getting the Microsoft banner saying you don't need to download a new web browser, just use Edge, when I just punched Chrome into the Edge search engine. But anyways, maybe this doesn't seem like a big deal. The author is using Microsoft search engine and a Microsoft browser, a Microsoft operating system. You know, why should Microsoft willingly link him to a competitor? Yeah, but...
Because you bought the computer to do what you tell it to do?
Yeah, but the author then says, Microsoft just gave itself a full screen ad in search results by faking an AI interaction. This, quote, search result, unquote, is juicing Microsoft's own product instead of respecting the user's intent. Yes, Microsoft has previously plugged Edge for new search for Chrome, but not like this. So they've actually got a picture showing before where when you search for Chrome in Edge, it's got a banner ad that takes up, I don't know, maybe a fourth of the page saying use Edge, you don't need Chrome. But then right below it is a link to Google's Chrome. And then the one below, then the next image is actually showing the whole Bing chatbot showing this canned results why you should be using Bing and Edge, and doesn't even show a link to Chrome at all. So it's just literally ignoring what you typed in and, you know, showing you its own thing. Even if you don't agree that Microsoft is yet again shoving Edge where it doesn't belong, this kind of move makes a mockery of the company's AI ambitions. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella claims he wants Edge to genuinely compete. Quote, let's build a product that is competitive in the marketplace and is actually serving user needs, unquote, he told The Verge in a February interview. When the author's editor-in-chief, Nalay Patel, asked whether the Bing AI browser integration was partially an attempt to capture Microsoft from Chrome. Quote, it's not just a search engine, it's an answer engine, unquote, claimed Nadella earlier in the show. Because we've always had answers with these large models, the fidelity of the answers just gets so much better, unquote. Would you call replacing a Chrome search with a juiced news article about Bing features as better? I know where the author knows where he lands on that. But it's important to both Microsoft and Google that their answers are seen as better because they're pushing aside the 10 blue links that have dominated search for so long. Quote, we've recently wondered aloud whether Google's new search generative experience would prioritize ads over actual answers, but it looks like we won't have to wait to see how brazen these companies can get. Unless there's strong pushback, the author expects ads to win whenever it's profitable or convenient. So he goes on, added that Microsoft turned it off. You know, there's an update here that was published about an hour and a half ago, which was before I didn't see the update because I tested it before then, but I guess I got it when they were turning it off. They're acknowledging that Microsoft turned this off. So it got attention, so Microsoft quit doing it. But yeah, they're literally swapping out what you're searching for and plugging in what they want you to search for. So don't use Edge. Don't use Bing. Don't use... You probably shouldn't be using Google or Chrome either. DuckDuckGo is pretty good. C-Rex is good. I use Firefox for a browser. Vivaldi is an interesting alternative. And Brave is an interesting alternative. But you've got to watch this shit, man. Because, I mean, they're getting just downright obvious about trying to only show you what they want you to see versus what's out there, which is kind of disappointing. Because like you said, Madman, you bought the computer for you, not for them.
And I understand no matter what search engine you use, there's going to be an algorithm behind what results it's going to show you. Because if I type in used cars, there's more used car lots than I'm going to look at. And even if you limit it to the ones in my area, order, the machine's picking which ones it shows me first. And everyone knows the further down on the list you are, the less likely someone's to see you.
Sure.
So I understand you can't force them not to have an editorial license. The software is designed to do that, but it doesn't need to be malicious with its editing. If I'm asking for a specific thing, it should find that thing. And if I'm asking for something that doesn't exist, the closest thing it can find to it.
Right. Yeah, I
Either
mean, an honest
spelling or
attempt
intent.
versus, just showing you an ad because it didn't find what it wanted. Thoughts, are you?
No, nothing to add, man. Cleaned it all out.
All right. Last article I have for tonight is from businessinsider.com, and it's just funny. Get these links posted. There we go. Apple's new iOS 17 has a feature that aims to prevent people from seeing unsolicited nude imagery. Apple's new iOS 17 has a feature that will warn people when someone attempts to send them unsolicited nudes. Apple said, "Is this that big of a problem?"
I don't know. I don't have a lot of chicks sending me pictures of their boobs. And whenever I've been hitting on someone, I've never thought, you know what they really need to seal the deal? A dick pic. That
That's the
has
fucking
never
same
crossed
thing,
my
man.
mind.
It's the same thing as a young guy dating. Think, you know what really seal the deal? Picture my dick.
I mean, come on, let's all be honest. A picture of the dick might be comical, but it's nobody's gonna think it's attractive.
I just don't get it. Like, it does, I don't know. I don't
Well,
understand any young.
with this feature, though, if I were 23 years stupider,
It's very
if it
specific.
came out then, I would so be putting googly eyes on it to see if I could fake out the algorithm and get a dick pic past it.
Okay,
It's
I
like,
can support that,
I mean,
madman.
you'll definitely get more laughs with the googly
Yeah.
eyes on the dick
Like, what
pic.
all do I have to do? It's like, I'm going to give it a toupee, mustache,
Groucho,
fake
the Groucho
glasses.
Marx fake nose glasses.
Wow.
Like,
I'm going to start a university course.
What all do I need to
Masterclass
do
in
to get a
dick
dick pic
disguises.
passed?
Yeah, to beat the algorithm.
We're going to
But you
start.
don't want it to be too disguised, because you still want whoever you're sending it to see what you're advertising.
Do you remember the really bad movie Master of Disguise? We're going to recreate all the costumes from that, only. Ugh, fuck. Anyways, Apple said in a press release that the sensitive content warning would help adult users, not children, only adults, would help adult users avoid seeing unwanted nude images and videos. The company would not get access to the content as the processing for the new feature occurred on the user's device, and the press release added. I can believe that because they've likely trained one of those image recognition models, and once you've trained the model, just running it usually doesn't take nearly as much horsepower as training it. So I could believe that they're running a simple model looking for handful of body parts there in the images. I'm just wondering about, like you were saying, Batman, false positives and false negatives.
I'm wondering which porn site they use to train this and which categories. Just
I
to
feel
narrow
sorry for
down.
the human operator that had to filter through the false positives.
So now think about this, though. When it starts doing a false positive, and it's a picture from, somebody in your family, a grandmother or an aunt or sibling or something, and you get the warning, this potentially has, whatever in it. And it's a false positive. Nobody's sending anything bad, but it's misdetected it. The question is, how many people would be willing to risk it? Because, if you get that warning and you're like, did somebody in the family just make a mistake? Send it to the wrong number? Or is this a false positive? And I mean, I don't know if I would be willing to risk clicking the link to find out. Because surely it'll have a thing where you can bypass and see whatever it is you were sent. But it's like, do you want to roll the dice on that?
What you do is you click no, and then you message them. I just got a weird warning. Just verify that you did want me to see what you just sent me, and then resend it if the answer is yes.
Well, Madman with a pragmatic answer there.
Oh, the other one is accepting it and then just going with blackmail material. Now, this only works if the person you're getting this from has no shame and still has their wits, because it's really hard to blackmail Grandpa when he's senile.
Apple said in a press release that the sensitive content warning would help adult users avoid seeing unwanted nude images and videos. Company would not get access to the content as the processing for the new feature occurred on the user's device, the press release added. The tech giant is also expanding communication safety, a feature aimed at protecting children, to cover sending and receiving content via AirDrop, contact posters, and FaceTime messages. The privacy feature will also expand to cover video content as well as images. The new iOS 17 was announced on Monday alongside Apple's new mixed reality headset, the Vision Pro. Operating system brings with it several updates, including two features called Journal and Standby. I think the rest of this is just ads. Yeah, the rest of this is just, you know, hyping up everything Apple did at their show. So, anyways, I just... Okay, your phone's going to warn you if it's a dick pic, I guess. I mean, what if it's just somebody who, you know, through no fault of their own, happens to have a very strong resemblance to a penis? I mean, every time you send a picture, poor Uncle Larry.
There's not actually a real-life Peter Griffin out there.
I don't know. Oh, no, I've seen... Peter Griffin? I've seen the YouTuber who does a really good job of looking like him. Nothing on that?
Nope.
Are you?
Oh, sorry, man. I get distracted watching a man get eaten by a shark.
So what I have for Digital Dojo tonight is a awesome forum list. And this is a list of several different projects out there for building and hosting your own forums. They've got all the major players in here, PHPBB, what else we got? Flux, ICE, a few others in there. Then they've got things like Discourse and Drupal forums and things like that. So, you know, if you're looking to get away from Reddit, and fair enough, and you don't want to go to another major social media platform, you'd rather just spin up something for your community, and especially if you were already moderating for free anyways. Here's a nice list of resources, forums to look at, you know, the licensing involved, when the last release of it was. Several of these haven't been updated in a long time. So, you know, maybe get something that's still in development as opposed to the last release of it. Oh, wow, PHPBB says they haven't updated since 2017? Surely that's not right. Yeah, that's not right. So, that last release on there, I don't know that I trust that, because I just checked PHPBB did a 3.3.10 release, you know, in February. So, I don't trust that update list in there. That would be because the person who put this list together hasn't updated it in 5 years. Okay, well, that explains that. I didn't realize this list was that old. But point being, instead of immediately looking for a new platform to host you, maybe consider building out your own forums again. I think that should be the way to go, because then it's decentralized. You don't have... You know, you don't have to worry about some large company coming in and trying to monetize the thing if it's actually ran by a community for a community. These things aren't that hard to set up. I used to host forums a lot back in the day. I did make the active decision when we set up Galaxy 15 not to put a forum in it. Not so much because I cared about moderating a forum. It was more I just didn't want to deal with people posting bullshit and having to clean it up. And spam. I didn't want to deal with the spammers. So I instead just chose not to do a forum. Ultimately, we did a subreddit just because, you know, well, okay, they can run that, and then more interested people can, you know, keep the crap out of it. But, you know, at this point, I don't know that I even want to promote that. I think Reddit's probably on the way out just because the leadership of the company has, you know, decided to shoot themselves in the foot. What's the meme comic with the kid sticking a stick in the bike spokes and complaining that his bike wrecked?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what I see Reddit doing to themselves at the moment, so.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Madman, you have any thoughts on standing up old school forums?
Yeah, if you've already got a community, I see it's really cool to migrate to one. I just don't know how easy it would be to build a community with one these days. But migrating over and expanding out, possible.
Well, you know, I mean, that used to be one of the things back in the day is where you could have the little banners and all the shit for all of your forum posts, and I mean, they got a little out of hand, but that used to be a thing, was modding PHPBB with add-ons and your own little tweaks and stuff like that to try to make your forum unique. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, if you go in the various subreddits for whatever topics, like, hey, I'm setting up a 3D printing forum, here's the link, PHPBB, no ads, you'd probably get a lot of people take you up on it pretty quick, because especially right now where people are looking to get off Reddit. So, and if you, you know, get a good group of people in there moderating it so it doesn't get full of trash and spam and stuff like that, it can work. If you don't put the work into it, well, then it just becomes yet another dead website, right? So, anyways, are you have any thoughts on old school forums there?
No, I didn't really use them.
Oh, promote 3 different people to admin and watch the admin war start.
Just randomly selected them, and it's like, you're admin for a day. Good luck. Anyways, listen to the stream. We're always working up here, decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and the IRC. In the IRC tonight, we had Al Hazard, Cyber Lord, Psychros, Madman, myself, and Sardonyx. Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh, I think I'm going to grab bourbon and go to sleep.
Not a bad plan. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Once again, I'm right. I just like to say that because it's just a matter of a long enough timeline and all my conspiracy theories are proven right.
Well, at least
The Brittany Higgins rape case, everything I said about that a year and a half ago, 100% correct.
Well, at least for once it's you saying that phrase and not me.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
And now I don't suffer. Because I got a bottle of 60 warm hugs from God.